Beautiful. Well, we'll just go right into the word. Let's just go into the word this evening. Let us agree in prayer. Let us go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. I will say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this evening that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, there is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this evening. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, we will just continue from where we stopped. Let's go through a quick recap on what we've been looking at lately. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11. Okay. Look at Romans 12, 11. Glory to God forevermore. Romans 12, 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit. So if you've listened to us for a few meetings now we've had, you could tell that one of the things we're paying attention to is the word fervency, or to be fervent. And if you recall our first teaching, we had Romans 12 11 as our anchor scripture. And what did we say about that? We said the scripture says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Okay, so we said there's a tendency for one to be slothful in business. I mean, there's a tendency for one not to be fervent. There's a tendency for one to be slothful. There's a tendency of for one not to be fervent. So it means that being born again does not automatically mean that one becomes fervent. Okay, and being born again as well does not automatically mean that one becomes slothful, right? So it means that the slothfulness that is expressed by a believer and the fervency expressed by a believer is something that will need to that will need to be is something that will need to be done or actively examined or actively revealed, so to say, or it will be as a result of the activities or inactivities of a believer that you will see slothfulness or fervency. So it says, not slothful in business, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. So it's one thing for you to be born again, it's one thing for you to be slothful, it's another thing to be fervent, and it's another thing that, to see serving the Lord or service to God as a conversation that you pay attention to. So what we started doing in this series is we started looking at the word consecration, or we're looking at the word consecration in this series. And one of the things we said is that consecration can be defined as a means of making or declaring something as sacred. Making or declaring something as sacred. Yeah, making or declaring something as sacred. We said to be devoted irrevocably to the worship of a supreme being, in our case, God, right? So it means giving full devotion. So this kind of devotion is one that sets you apart and makes you so that now, when one is set apart, look at it this way, right? If you have a farm, right, and on your farm you have like 300 cows, for instance, and the 300 cows are all white, right? You see, the moment you have one cow as your favorite, let's assume for lack of better examples, or let's just say you have one cow that is a different color, black, right? When black is mixed up in the midst of white, 300, that means you have 299 and you have one black. If you're looking for the one that is black, right, from anywhere you find yourself, as long as you have a view over or have a view into the farmland that has your cows, what will you see? You will see a cow that stands out. Okay, you will see a cow that stands out. Listen to what I'm about to say again, or what I just said right now. Yeah, so the moment you see, or the moment you actually look into your farmland and you see that there is, or you're looking for your black cow, okay, What that means by default is that because the black cow is set apart, or because the black cow is distinguished from the others, right? The moment you look into a field with 300 cows, right? The moment you're looking for one, it's not difficult to see. You see, that's the attitude the believer must and should have. Look at it this way. Yeah, so for the cow, yes, the father... I'm going faster than my shadow. Okay, so for the cow owner paints the cow that, paint, or knows that that color of cow exists amongst his cows. But let's assume it's actually a cow that has a painting. Someone, maybe as a cow owner, you put a color, whatever thing to demarcate or a sign, right? You see, the moment that thing is done on that cow, what it does is that it separates the cow from other cows. What I mean is, it puts that cow in a different on a different pedestal. Let me say that differently. It means that if you are going to be looking for one cow, you would not need to search in details. That means you don't need to stress to see it. Yeah, that's the attitude the believer needs to wear. Are we together? So he says, be not slothful in business. That means it's an approach, it's a conduct, it's a way of life. He says, fervent in spirit. That means fervency is something that can be seen. Yeah, fervency is something that can be seen. Let me tell you for free. See, we know amongst ourselves those who are fervent. It is not hidden. Listen to me carefully, right? If you remember what I've taught in the last two Wednesday or three Wednesday meetings, one of the examples we went to see is from the book of Acts chapter 1. Bible says the bishopric of the one who betrays should be given to another, right? So the leaders came together and they decided to actually give to fulfill scriptures. Okay, they said a man betrayed, his bishopric should be given to another. Then they looked among those who have been following and they said, we need one among those who have been following from the baptism of Jesus to replace and to be a partaker of this eldership or this leadership, so to say, right? And without beating an eye, without gimmicks, without trying to look for who is not and what is not, it was easy to just separate two people. Okay, it was easy to just separate two people, right? It wasn't difficult. So that is to say, so we looked at another example last week Wednesday, and they were trying to pick Dickens. Remember, they're trying to pick Dickens to stand into the place of looking over the tables and all those other things, right? And they chose Stephen and I think six or seven others of them, right? What did he say? They say, look for men amongst you of a honest report. Let me tell you something. See, if you are fervent, it is clear. If you are not fervent, it is clear. See, listen to me. I'm not trying to talk about people who are pretending and those who are not pretending. I'm trying to say, in God's palace right now, God's palace UK, we know those who are committed and we know those who are not committed without saying a word. Yeah, so how do we know? Those who are committed, we see their slant, we see their approach to ministry, we see their approach to God, we see their approach to the local church. And we're together. So tomorrow, if we are in a position where we want to replace a leader, yeah, or we're in a position where we want to pick or choose a leader, right? I just gave you two examples. You know, somebody might say, why the pastor use replace? Well, the truth is, we have those two examples in Acts. Acts 1 starts with replacing a leader. Acts 6 goes for that to choosing a leader. Now, we went for that to see that the choosing of the leader to take care of the table and all those things was not something that was something that deprived these leaders from fulfilling ministry continually. So we see the likes of Stephen, who eventually was stoned to death a few verses or few chapters after. We see the likes of Philip as well, who was ordained as a leader in that meeting. And we'll find an Ethiopian eunuch on the street and engage the street like we've taught you. All together, right? So we have replacing of leadership in Acts chapter 1, and we have another choosing of leaders. Both of them are found in God's will. That's the truth. You must understand that. So I always tell you, a leader today will not always be a leader tomorrow, or a leader today might not always be a leader tomorrow. A saint today might not be a leader tomorrow, mind you, because they said, of these two, which of them do you want to pick to replace Judas, right? So they had two people, they wanted to replace one person. And they said the first qualification was that these two people, they've consistently been in the local church from the beginning. So the moment they chose one person, it means the other person wasn't chosen. So it means that they chose a leader, right, out of two people who could possibly be leaders. Now, we don't have record that the other one who wasn't made a leader, right, what he did was he stopped serving Jesus. No. Right, like I would always tell you, your goal, your reason for service is not because you want to be a leader, right? You see, you got to see that your service among or serving the Lord needs to be an end in itself. Now, whether your pastor sees you, right, or the leadership sees you and says, we want you to be a leader at this point, right? It's up to the leader. Are we together? Yeah, you should not be found politicking your way to become a leader. Yeah, eventually, like I tell you, I told you on Sunday or maybe a few weeks ago, I said, there is none of you listening to me today who is serving me. None of you. Yeah, and so the earlier you kill that notion in your mind that you are serving me, the better for you. Yeah, because you and I, we are serving God. I am just one who is privileged to lead in the service within the local church, within the local gathering. I work together. I'm not the head of the body of Christ. No, we are all within the body of Christ. I am privileged to be a leader, right? To provide leadership oversight to each and every one of you as long as you are within the jurisdiction of God's palace. Are we together, right? So what I'm saying is, so we all definitely are serving God. Are we together? God has put his order. God has put his structure. He has put his system such that there will be pastor, there will be saints, or there will be pastors and saints, right? So there will be pastor, there will be saints, there will be pastors, there will be saints. Now, every saint is trained in such a way to fulfill ministry accurately. Meaning that by default, a saint might have or should be able to provide a leadership oversight as a discipler over another. Are we together? Yeah? But not every disciple or saint who can provide oversight over another disciple or other disciples is going to be a pastor or is going to be a leader. Are we together? So you must understand, right? So that practice of setting yourself apart or aside is something you will intentionally, painstakingly do. You see, in our world, people think that what I'm saying is simple. It's not simple. No, people think that what I'm saying is simple. No, it's not simple. It's not simple. You see, it requires intentionality. Go all the way with me. We've looked at the scriptures over and over again. Go all the way with me to Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke chapter 10. Or just for time, go to Mark. Let's do Mark. Or look at Luke 9. I'm trying to just recap what we've been saying over the past few weeks. Look at Luke 9, 57. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 57. Luke 9, 57. So it says, and it came to pass that as they went in their way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a simple statement, right? You see, it's a statement that a lot of you on this call have made at one point in your life. There's a point, even if you've not made it, even if you can't remember when last you made it, I can remember for you that even by the song we sang on Sunday or the song we sang two Sundays ago, right, you can say that in your singing you said, oh, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go. Are you following me today? Right, so we have saints who say they will follow Jesus wherever you go. Is there anything bad in that? No. What the implication of that means is that, you know, some of us think that when you make that statement, it means you are going to be comfortable following Jesus. Let me tell you for free. You see, First Peter shows us, we saw that 2 weeks ago, Bible, First Peter shows us that Jesus Christ suffered these things, or suffered certain things, living for us an example that we should follow his steps. Now, we said that word following his steps means to follow accordingly or intentionally follow, right? To see a path and to follow. Let me tell you for free. Jesus, on his earthly ministry or in his earthly days, right? Jesus, when he took on humanity and flesh, right? There was a way he portrayed service. There was a way he portrayed service. There was a way that Jesus portrayed service. There was a way that Jesus portrayed service. I left you with a question on Sunday, right? And I said, can you be like Jesus in service? Now, we're going to get there again today. Now, look at what Jesus said in verse 58. Don't forget, Jesus says, well, foxes have holes. Don't forget, someone is saying to Jesus, oh, where you lead me, I will follow. Take up my cross, daily follow you. I'm not ashamed to shout my love for you, my Lord. But when it's time to be committed, yeah, what happens? Well, I need to find a place to sleep. I need to find a place to put my head. What did Jesus say? Now, don't forget, Jesus is the first shepherd. Or Jesus is the chief shepherd. Okay, yeah, go all the way to 1 Peter 1. So hold your hands in Luke 9, right? And go all the way to 1 Peter chapter 5. Okay, go all the way to 1 Peter chapter 5, right? Go all the way to 1 Peter chapter 5. So Peter says in verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. So Peter is an elder. Let me tell you something for free. Not everybody in the local church will be an elder. No. We can't have or we will not have a local church or local churches filled of elders always. But we would have local churches where there will be elder, there will be saints. Now, so look at what... Peter says there. So he says, feed the flock. So what is the instruction that Peter gives, right, to the elders? He says, feed the flock. So the elders' responsibility is to feed the flock. Are you following? Right? It is taking the oversight. So not everybody has oversight in the local assembly. You don't have oversight over me. You don't have oversight over your pastor, wherever you are, whatever church you are in. Yeah, your pastor has oversight over you. That's God's wisdom. You see, the earlier, the better for you to stop arguing or stop fighting it. You know, we see some people around this who just join the bandwagon of shouting, oh, we all have the spirit. Because the pastor taught you that, you know, touched on my anointed is for the believer. Well, God has put a structure in the local assembly. As long as you're within the confines of local assembly, there is the one that has oversight, and there's the one who oversight his heart over them. Are you following? Now, it says, feed the flock, which of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now, where I want to go to, it's verse 4. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear. So who is the chief shepherd? The chief shepherd is Jesus Christ of glory, right? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So Jesus, the chief shepherd, I am a shepherd who will find my shepherding in the shepherdhood of Jesus. I'll say it again. Yeah, Joshua Yusuf is a shepherd in God's palace who will find his mode of shepherding in the shepherdhood of Jesus. Okay, yeah, so go back all the way to Luke 10. So we're looking at the chief shepherd. So when we see Jesus in Luke 9, what are we seeing? We are seeing the shepherd that is chief. Okay, yeah, so he says, Jesus said, this is Jesus the chief shepherd. Jesus said, well, I hope you know that foxes have holes and birds of the air, they have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. Right, so Jesus the shepherd will say, foxes have holes, the birds of the air they have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. So Jesus went to meet someone and say, follow me, right? And he says, but the other said, Lord, Master, please suffer me. The word there suffer means allow. So he says, suffer me to first go and bury my father. Listen to me carefully, right? So for you to have a father, it means that your father is the one that brought you into the world. So I would assume that the fatherhood that is spoken about here is the biological father of this man. So Jesus meets a man and says, well, follow me. Just follow me. Right? What did the man say? The man says, okay, Lord Jesus, I will follow you. You see, the difference between this man, right, and the first man, for instance, is that the second man seems to supposedly, or let me say it differently, what we have on the record supposedly shows as though the second man is truthful. Yeah? What's the word? He's plain. What do I really mean? The first one just said, well, wherever you go, I will follow you. Well, and Jesus, so for Jesus to give that reply, foxes have holes, is there's a tendency that first man had said something about, as long as when I follow you, there's household. Yeah, but let's leave the first man, look at the second man. And the man says, well, Lord, I will follow you, but allow me first to go and bury my father. Right? To bury one's father, is that a legitimate conversation? Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, it is a legitimate conversation, right? Does it sound logical? Yes. Is this something that happens on the earth? Yes. If you look at it, if you look through time, right, there will be a point at a point where one's father will sleep. There will be a point at a point where one's father will, what people will call, die. You get that, right? And would need to be buried. Yeah. Is that an emotional phase? Oh, yes, it is an emotional phase. Are we together? It is an emotional phase, right? You see, but in the real sense, you need to understand that no matter what seems legitimate, look at the responses of chief shepherd Jesus. So what did Jesus say? Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead. Oh, dear saints, I don't think anybody that is said to will sound palatable. I don't think there's anyone listening to me, including myself, that if I hear that, it will sound palatable. But who is that? That's Chief Jesus. So if your pastor says the exact same words to you, you know, I told you on Sunday, I heard someone saying that, you know, the Greek word for the word let the bed, you are just deceiving yourself, right? Yet there's nothing about Greek word in this verse, right? What he said was, let the dead bury their dead, right? He's trying to say, mind you, you will not pick that literally as well, right? Because he's trying to say, place priority on what priority should be placed upon, right? So what did he now say? But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. So what is more important to burying one's father and preaching the gospel? Oh, listen to me, oh, to Jesus. Which is more important? Let me ask you again, which is more important, burying one's father and preaching the gospel? So, you know, preaching the gospel will cover things pertaining to ministry. So just say, which is more important, burying a loved one or ministry? To Jesus, not to me, not to me, to Jesus. Which is most important, right? Burying a loved one or ministry? I put it to you today, and I put it to you tomorrow, as I put it to you yesterday, right? To Jesus, the most important is preach the kingdom, ministry. Yeah, you see, so when you see this example, what I'm trying to say is, what exactly is your excuse? Put everything into the bracket of, I want to go bury my father. You know, I've told you before, Pastor Jesus, in our world today, if he's the pastor over some of us, we'll say, which kind of man is he? He doesn't even have emotional intelligence. He doesn't even know how to even relate with human beings. I'm actually just quoting scriptures. Which kind of, you don't even know how to do people's management. You don't even know how to do emotional balance. I'm trying to say, Pastor Jesus in our so-called world today will probably have people who will leave him because of that statement. Let me tell you for free. So it means me, Joshua, in 2024, right? Me, Joshua, in 2024, I would rather I stick to what the Bible will say than to mismanage cover up, yeah, just because I don't want people to leave. Yeah, that's the truth. That is me. Yeah. So he says, let the dead bury the dead, go and preach the. So it means my influence over your life is primarily hinged around ministerial matters. Yeah. My influence over, let me tell you something. You see, as your pastor, I'm not necessarily in your life to find out how you are doing at work. We need to get things straight, that you have those privileges in me, and I beat my chest to say boldly, it's a privilege you have, right? Yet that you have those privileges in me does not mean it's something that you should expect everywhere. In fact, I tell you for free, it's not everywhere. Yeah, so if I have concerns over your family, have concerns over your wife, have concerns over your daughter, have concerns over your son, have concerns over your work, have concerns over your car, so that's a generous heart, a kind heart that eventually will wrap up into forming you as a solid or a whole or a rounded human being. But my primary and chief, what I'm saying to you is, if I care so much about your car, your house, your family, your children, your inheritance, more than I care about your ministry, I am not following the steps of the chief shepherd, Pastor Jesus. You get that? Yeah. So you see it as a privilege. You see it as a rare privilege. And one of the things I want to say to you all today is, you see, from time to time, take out time and think of the things that are actually linked with you and your pastor. For instance, I was talking about me. Yeah, think about it. Just ponder about it. Just sit down and just think about it. Right? It's not everywhere. That's the truth. It's not everywhere. Right? But what I'm saying to you is that if he stops tomorrow for any reason, the moment my affection for you still continues ministerially, and then you're in safe hands. I was together. Because Jesus will say, well, let the dead bury their dead. Go, you do ministry.
Okay.
In case that's not enough for you, well, look at what it says. He now further explains that in verse 61, or put in a better context. He says in verse 61, another said unto him, Lord, I will follow you. Yeah, I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you for the rest of my days. I will follow you for the rest of my life. You see, what I found out is a lot of us, we only like the idea of following Jesus. But when it comes to the consecration, the commitment, the slant or the sacrifices you will make, we don't like making sacrifices. And honestly, that's the way life is, really. People are no longer looking for how to make sacrifices. People are usually just looking for what to get, how to get, what to get, what to get. And that's a selfish love. Yeah, self-love. Some people will teach it from, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. And what they mean by that is, the Bible says, love people the way you want to be loved. That's not Bible. That's selfish love. That's not, you can't teach that in the Bible. It's not taught in the Bible. Eh? How you want to be loved is the way you love others. No. Or how you love, how you want to be loved is the way you love others. Life will show you that in the real sense, you can love people, even people you love, and you sacrifice and put your all for them on the line. What do you think Jesus got from a Peter? Before Peter will catch himself, what do you think Jesus got from a Judas? And I always tell you, if Pastor Jesus can pastor 12, who is a better pastor in this from the beginning of humanity? Jesus pastored 12. Out of the 12, there was one that betrayed. There was one that denied. Altogether, you see, I always tell you this is, I get myself excited with that fact. I get myself excited with that fact. What am I just really saying? It means that people, even if you put your head on the line for them, even if you put your life on the line for them, that will not stop me from putting my life on the line for you. Yeah, that will not stop me from being as sacrificial as I can be, because I see that template in Christ. I'm not doing it because you need to do it back to me or you should do it back to me, right? But I'm doing it because I see a template in Christ. Yeah, is it a good thing to see that someone is sacrificial for you? Well, bless your heart. I'm happy to know, and I hope you know that it's a beautiful thing to see. It is a beautiful thing to see. But if you want to give people back their response because of what they are giving you, eventually might not live the life that is worthy of emulation in Christ. Is that a word? Yeah, of following in Christ. Are you with me today? Yeah? So what did Jesus say in verse 61? He says, well, so look at what the other one says. He says, well, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid my family farewell. Yeah? Because this one that Jesus is taking us into the mountain or the forest to go and pray. Pastor, please, just before I come for this meeting, you know, I've not seen my father in 20 years, and he's landing, and the flight he found was the flight he got that will come. Yeah, let me just go and welcome him. I'm just giving an example of what, let me go and bid them goodwill, bid them farewell. And we're together, right? And Bible says in verse 62, and Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand on the plow or to the plow and looking back his feet for the kingdom of God. Are you together? Yeah. So, you see, why am I saying these things? I realize that these things need to be said, because a lot of times we forget these things and they need to be repeated to our hearings over and over and over and over again. You know, there's every tendency that if you don't have a pastor and you read the scriptures, you will not put the emphasis I'm putting in this meeting on these verses as you should. Yeah, because everyone wants to just live a, you know, casual life, you know, this serving Jesus and God is not something that is so intense. He has suffered for us. Well, the Bible says he suffered, that he leaves a template for you to follow his steps. Yeah, you see, this Christian faith, I don't know why pastor is all, I see why our pastor is sweating. What is pastor saying? All this kind of, no, this Christian thing is me and my God. You see, God loves me. You see, it's a passional rage. You see, this Christian faith is a personal thing. You see, God sees my heart. Let me tell you, there's a state your heart will be. It will reflect in your conduct. There's a state your heart will be. It will show in your commitment. There's a state your heart will be. It will reflect in your relationship among things and among others. Now, are we together? So if you are one, for instance, who looks for the slightest opportunity, yeah, you see, I asked a question on Sunday. What are you sacrificing for the things of God? What are you sacrificing for the kingdom? What are you actually sacrificing? What exactly are you sacrificing? And I always tell you, you see, you might be sacrificing something as basic as whatever it is, but the truth remains that there is more. There is more. That's the truth. That's the honest truth. You hear me say something like this. You say people like to rest when they've not labored. You want to rest where there's no labor, where you've not labored. Are we together? Yeah. You want to rest. I just want to take like 4 weeks away from humanity and just go to one island and go and rest. Oh, beautiful. Well, you find yourself in an island. What do? You ensure you make. I told you, yeah, I've made a decision to myself years ago that whatever country I find myself anywhere in the world, right? For the best part of my travels that might come up or that have come up, it will be holiday related. That means I'm supposed to go and rest. But my decision that no matter what, at least there must be a one or a two that I'll preach the gospel to. There must be a one. There must be a time, a day that I will leave my hotel. I'll leave my rest place to ensure. Why? Because you see, the devil doesn't go on holiday. The devil doesn't take breaks. Are we together? Right? Yeah. So, like I've told you before, there will be a time in the future where, for instance, some of you will come and say, well, Pastor, you're laboring a lot. Well, I think, Pastor, you should take 2 weeks away and just go and rest for your health. Yeah, it's important. Yeah. But that will not happen until, even in my conscience, even in your conscience, you know that Pastor has done a lot of labor. Yeah, there will be times when I will need to take out time to rest. But I tell my wife knows this, any trip that cannot take me out of the UK, right, on a Sunday or Sunday afternoon and bring me back on a Sunday morning. Some of you have seen it, some of the trips I've taken. Yeah, I leave church from preaching, I go straight to the airport, go on a holiday, in my holiday, still preach, then come back on a Sunday morning straight to church. Or I go on a Monday, come back on Saturday. Any trip that will make me to just go on to come back or to miss Sunday service for holiday as at now is too expensive for me. Yeah, that is one of the things I am sacrificing as a pastor. Why am I saying these things? Because you need to hear it. One of us think that this thing called consecration is a perfect thing. I can tell you for free, you have one right in front of you who I believe is a model and example. Are we together? Yeah. So I am finding my examples, finding a perfect, sweet combination, combined example from the pages of scriptures. And right in front of you, you have someone who models that for you. I told you on Sunday, there are sacrifices myself, my wife, Sister Steph, we have made over the last 2 years to deprive ourselves of comfort. If I wanted to take my wife to nothing less than 5 to 6 countries per year over the last 18 months, I would have conveniently done that without a tear coming out of my eye. But what did we do? We decided to put all of that into the gospel. That's a big deal. That's a huge deal. That's a big deal. Some of you, you will just want everything to be for yourself. Yeah, the salary comes in. Yeah, I know. I have to. You know, there's this wristwatch I've been looking for. Oh no, there's this perfume that. There's this TV. I want to change my TV. Right, and there are other things that you could sacrifice that for. Mind you, I'm not saying that everything you get is sacrificed for Jesus. Even you and I know that is not everything I get as a sacrifice for Jesus. But you see, there's some sacrifices you will make that will touch you. Yeah, there's some commitment you will make that will touch you. You have right in front of you. Look at God's balance is going to be 2 years and another 7 days. Yeah, praise be to God. Yeah, 2 years of commitment in the city of UK. Yeah, and I'm telling you that in 2 years, I've never gotten to church 9:02. I don't have 3 years, mate, or senior, or whoever is listening to me, brother or sister, or anybody, yeah, or elder. Yeah, I don't have 3 heads. I've not gotten to church once, yeah, not once, right? Not because I've not had days when I feel like staying at home. Not because I've not had days when I feel like I don't feel like preaching. Not because I've not had days like that. But guess what? There is something that needs to be sacrificed. If it is not sacrificed, it is not sacrificed. That's a huge deal. That's a big deal. I can tell you for free, I can at this point stop playing the keyboard in the local church. I can at this point do that conveniently. Yeah, I can at this point give some of you instructions to go ahead and go and rehearse and set up. A time will come, that will happen. Are we together? But guess what? You have a worthy example right in front of you. Yeah, Peter will say an elder needs to be an example. I'm trying to say you don't need to look far. You don't need to look far. There's a lot of consecration, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of sacrifice that goes into pastoring, into leading. I could as well say, oh well, I'm the one preparing the word. I'm the one feasting on the word. You know, I'm the one preparing the word, and you know, it's just something that I can just stay at home. A time for that will come. But not now. Are we together? There will be a time Jesus will be on the road and nobody will be trying to cling to touch him. There will be a time that Jesus will be on the road and someone will say, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. There'll be a time when Jesus will be walking and he will have people always walking with him. There'll be a time when he will walk past the river, right, or the sea, and be looking for men to say, follow me. That's life. That's life. I hope you know that. I hope you know that. You see, when they arrested Jesus, he had his disciples around him. Yeah, so he had men who were following him, and the number had increased. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that when Jesus resurrected, he was seen by 500 men at once. So he had a large following, but that large following did not start altogether from day one. Altogether. So it means that in Jesus' church, there'll be times as well when Jesus is about to start meetings. He will go to the church, let's assume, clean the chairs. Yeah, he will go to the church, let's assume, arrange the instruments. He will go to the church, let's assume, he would, you know, and prepare. There'll be times when he will go to church, he will lead praise. He will lead praise. He will lead prayer. Yeah, and he will what? And he will teach. And he will take announcements. Are we together? And there'll be times when Jesus will actually just preach and would have to leave the meeting venue because what? People might want to keep him there for another 3, 4, 7 hours. Are we together? But you see, you've not gone through those processes. You already have 5 protocols following you into a church that if a baby throws a Bible from one side of the hall to the other hall, it should touch the wall. You already have 7 men as a protocol. Yeah, what am I saying to you today? See, there are things you would have to put aside. There are things you would have to sacrifice. Jesus says, no man, having put his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Is fit for the kingdom of God. Is fit for the kingdom of God. Are we together? So one of the things you must keep reminding yourself is that if somebody else can do it, I'm not the most dedicated believer on the earth. That's not true. Yeah, I have people. I know people, even in my personal space, who they are busier than I am. The pastor local churches that are, you know, have, you know, more people of accountability under the structure. And yet in that, they are still committed. Yet in that, they are still consistent. Yet in that, they are still committed. Some of you, the moment you just get a husband like this, no, they will see me in church when they see me. Some of you, the moment you just get a house like this, you know, I have to always be around to watch so that people don't come and steal from me. Some of you, the moment you just get a job like this, no, pastor, see, this is my job time. You know, I've been saying it for 5 weeks now, that some of you will still tell me on Rekindle. Yeah, I trust God that I don't have any of you looking at me right now. Yeah, some of you tell me on Rekindle that you have a shift to take. I've been saying it for 5 weeks. You will see it. No, you will not see it by the special grace of God. Yeah, you still have shift to take on Rekindle. And I've told you this meeting from the beginning of the year. It's been in the calendar from the first of this year. Our meetings at the church are already prepared from October, November, the previous year. So from now, I'm already working on the meetings for next year, both in Nigeria church and the UK church. So by the end of December, into the first maximum, every member of God's Palace has the dates of all our special meetings next year. You get the point? Yeah. Why? So that you can prepare and prepare and prepare and prepare. Yeah. You know, someone says something that the strength of a local church is seen and by the number of people you can call randomly and they will appear in meetings. Yeah. Short notice. Oh, I want us to just, I do that to some of our leaders sometimes, right? Hop on calls with them, hop on special meetings with them, you know, and just, you know, have those meetings with them at a very short notice. Yeah. What does that do for you? It is to train you. What does that do for you? It is to train you. What does that do for you? It is to train you, right? You see, following Jesus will be modeled by the example you have having oversight over you in the local church. So it means that you don't serve Jesus on your terms. No, you don't serve Jesus on your terms. You know, I will not ask you to come for a special meeting every weekday by 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock physically. No, I won't do that to you. Are we together? But you know, even this Sunday, we are still doing physically. Even this Wednesday, we still have to beg some of you. We still have to say, just put it. We still have to beg you. No. Life ought not be that way. Bible says, be not slothful. Yeah, be not slothful. Be not slothful. Be not slothful in business, right? But be fervent, serving the Lord. Are we together, right? There are some of you on this call, right, who will still be in meetings with me, right? So I started work today at 9 o'clock, which most of you already did as well, yeah? And I've been in meetings back to back all through to this meeting that we're having right now. I'm teaching you right now, and I have a meeting with leaders at 9 o'clock, and that meeting is going to last another 3 hours, right? So can you see? I'm serving Jesus. Yeah, what's your excuse? What's your excuse? Right? I'm not sitting in an office expecting all of you to go and work and come and feed me so that I can be able to know. I'm not waiting for salary for many of you. Right? Yeah, we're all working where they are getting salary, right? To bring and support in local church. Yeah. And even with that, yeah, I'm still here. Right? I'm still gonna have leaders meeting, right? All the way. I had one over the weekend as well. I had two over the weekend as well. Are we together? Yeah. My days are almost disappearing right in front of me. Right? You have an example right in front of you. I think I'm going to title this message. You have an example right in front of you. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? What's your excuse? What exactly is your excuse? What exactly is your excuse? Church, you will not come. Church, you will not come early. Yeah. Service, you will not join. A service, you will not be committed. You will not take notes. You will not go for evangelism. You will not preach. What exactly is your excuse? Right? What exactly is your excuse? I ensure that every week in my busy schedule, I ensure that nothing less than 2-3 people hear the gospel from my lips. I'm not talking about people who are in the local church. I'm talking about people around. So I leave my house at least once a week to ensure that men on the streets are being preached to. What's your excuse? Let me ask you, what exactly is your excuse? What exactly is your excuse? Who are you? Do you realize, and I give an example on Sunday, right? If the government or a country that you want to always go to, or a country that, you know, you feel like you want your family to grow there, you want the family to build there, if they tell you, come for an interview, even some of you, if they put that interview on Sunday morning by 10, you will not come to church. You will not come to church, right? If they tell you on Monday morning, right, on Monday morning, maybe on Sunday, you just get an email. Tomorrow, we want to give you a passport that can take you to 190 countries in the world without a visa. Right, come for a stamp by 9:15 tomorrow morning. And today is Sunday evening. Yeah, and you're supposed to be at work tomorrow. You know, you will not be at work tomorrow. Yeah, but if pastor calls a meeting tomorrow, let's meet together and pray for the city of Edinburgh. Say, what kind of pastor is he? Doesn't even know emotional intelligence because he's not working, doesn't even know how life is done. Yeah, you see, what I'm saying is that some of you choose your excuses. Yeah. You just choose. Let me tell you, anything you give excuse for, somewhere in your heart, you don't really think you should do it, or you don't have a conviction to do it. Everything, anything. And the cheapest thing to give is an excuse. Cheapest thing to give is an excuse. It is so easy to give. So easy to give. What did Jesus say? Well, let the dead bury the dead. That is, in all your priority, let the preaching of the kingdom be number one to you. Let the preaching of the kingdom be number one to you. Yeah, you don't put work over the preaching of the kingdom. You don't put family over the preaching of the kingdom. You don't put your husband over the preaching of the kingdom. You don't put your wife over the preaching of the kingdom. Oh, no, you don't do that. You don't put your family, you don't put your career, don't put your work over the preaching of the kingdom. No, it's the preaching of the kingdom. And I've taught you, right? Yeah, when the Bible says we've left all to follow you, did they abandon? No. How will you know? Yeah, Peter could take Jesus to go and heal his mother-in-law. Not his mother, his mother-in-law. In a world where there was no WhatsApp. So it means that Peter was well abreast with the ongoing things in his family. I showed you a son in John 21. Bible says that Peter and six of them or seven of them, they went to go and fish. That means it was a practice they continued. So there was a time for fishing. Let me say it differently. There was a time. So when Jesus met them fishing fishes, and he says, I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't mean that from that day, they will only fish men, not fish fishes. That's what John 21 shows you. Eventually, in the middle of their activities of fishing for men, they went to fish fishes. That's John 21, verse 3-4, that I will show you on Sunday, right? So fishing of men and fishing of fishes is something that a man who is well-rounded should do. But you don't put priority more on fishing of fishes more than priority on the fishing of men. And we're together. So Jesus will want to pick disciples and he'll say, well, follow me. And they'll say, well, let me go bury the dead. Yeah. He'll say, well, let me go say goodbye to my family. Pastor, you know, the only flight I could see that would allow my friend to come or my brother to land or my this thing is by the time that fit into church, I might just be away from church. And I ask you a question. If everybody behave like you and you go, let me use God's palace, assuming everyone listens to me in God's palace, right? Anywhere you are in the world, really. If everyone in your local church behave the way you behave, will that be a local church? If everyone in your local church behave the way you behave, will there be a local church? If everyone gives an excuse the way you give excuses, right? Will there be, ask yourself the question, if pastor gives an excuse the way you give excuses, right? Will there be a local church? Will there be a pastor to oversee you? Will there be? 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 Altogether. If you were, in fact, this is another question I used to ask a couple years ago, and I think it's important I ask it again. If you were to pastor a church, would you want yourself as a member? That was funny, really. That was funny. It's funny, but it's not funny. If you were to pastor a church, would you want yourself as a member of that church? Please, just think about that. You know, I'm not asking you to give me an answer. Yeah, that's me trusting that you will say genuinely and speak genuinely to yourself. Are we together? Would you really? You know, some of us, yeah, no, this midweek service is so complex. So we can't be doing midweek service anyhow. No. See, some of us, and you now realize that even if we made midweek service on Monday, you will not stick on. You will not still be present, or you will not consistently follow, or you will not be readily available. If you make it a Tuesday, you will not still be there. Make it on Wednesday. So what do we do? We cannot not do what we need to do. But ask yourself that question. If you had a church and all your members were like you, yeah? What did I say? I'll title this series again. You have an example in front of you or something like that. Someone should remind me afterwards. I probably might not do that, really. But if I wake up every morning and I say, if I have members in God's palace like me, will God's palace thrive by his spirit? Because, you know, the thriving by his spirit is actually done when men are actively walking in one mind, one peace, one purpose, one vision, one passion. And like I told you, yet see, that I'm being the way I am in my Christian devotion, my Christian practice, is to show you that as a member, as a saint, it is possible. You see, when you look at your pastor, don't look at somebody who you can never become. Look at somebody who is an example, a model of who you can become in Christ Jesus. That's God's wisdom. That's God's plan. That's God's wisdom. That's God's plan. That's God's wisdom. That's God's plan. Look at somebody who you can become. That's why it's good to have elders who have worthy examples that can be followed. That's why it's good to have elders who are worthy examples that can portray a template that can be followed. If everyone in your church were like you. If everyone in your church, now think about it this way, right? Okay, if we say we need to be in church for 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, whatever time it is, right? If everybody, including the singer, including the person that leads prayer, comes around 10:02, don't you think there'll be chaos? What exactly is your reason for your excuse? What exactly? You just realize it's nothing. You're just not that committed. There's no better fine-tuned way to say it. No, there's no better way to say it. Don't give an excuse for my mom is not feeling fine. My dad is not feeling fine. Now, mind you, I'm trying to tell you that in your family relationship, you are not to abandon them. I was getting, now it's a different conversation where, for instance, something is happening on your way to church, and because that thing is happening on your way to church, you have to quickly rush someone to the hospital. Let it be that when that story is heard, is a one in a year, one in a decade sample. Yeah, I know that if any day I come to church late, right? And what I mean by late, 5 minutes after 9, and let's assume some of you are already in church, you know in your heart that you begin to ask, where is pastor? What's happening? Yeah, but some of you, the day you come 9 o'clock, hey, pastor will not talk. Oh, will say, what has changed? And which is what I'm expecting to happen after a series like this. Are we together? Yeah. What has changed? What could change? What has changed? What could change? You don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. Maybe that's the title of this series. You don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse. No. Put it away. Put it away. Put it aside. No. You are giving yourself an excuse. You don't have an excuse. You do not. Everything you give an excuse for, there are people in more complex situations than you are, that they are committed to Jesus. I thought of a local church, for instance, right? In some part of the world where they meet in caves. Yeah, thought of a local church where the government will send spies to go and, and get information and go scatter them. And one of the meetings, the pastor said, well, in our next meeting, we will know where to meet by the Spirit. And everybody just goes home. Next meeting, everybody comes apart from his brother. They realize that's why. Yeah, there are places where they've had to read the Bible, cram the Bible, because they cannot be found holding a Bible. They're doing it. They're living with a family. Some of them, they have, you know, what? Yeah. You know, I can't remember where I was reading this story or who I was hearing this narrative from, of a man who takes out about 2-3 months of his entire year. Oh, well, he's a senior person at his working place. But he takes out 2 months of his year to go into rural areas around the world and the globe to ensure that the gospel is preached. 2 years of his life. 2 months of his life every year. I think he has done that for over a decade, if not more. What's the excuse? The money you are looking for, the money you are chasing, the money you are looking for. Why are you chasing that at the expense of your devotion to Jesus? Who doesn't like money? Everybody does. I believe. Let me say that differently. Everybody, I believe everybody likes money. I believe everybody wants money. I believe that strongly. I believe that strongly. What are you sacrificing? Do you spend most of your day watching TV? Do you spend most of your day watching Netflix? Do you spend most of your day? Souls are perishing. You don't pray. You don't pray. Some of you, if you count the number of times you pray in the entire year, it's not up to 2 hours. In a year, and that 2 hours, you borrowed some of the minutes from our general meeting. Why do you think we put a template as a local church for you to pray in cells? It's just to ensure that at least everybody is praying once a week. That's just the model. Yeah? Let me tell you for free, in case you don't know. In the nearest future, we're going to be having those prayer meetings every week done at physical locations. I'm going to get there. I don't plan to be teaching on my life on Wednesday online. No, I hope you know that. I don't plan it. When we get more stable, we have the funds to pay for it. When we have the logistics and everything in place, I don't plan to be teaching. So some of you, you still come late for 7 o'clock meeting and we're not meeting physically. What should I expect when we start meeting physically? Guess it. Wake up. Wake up, wake up, wake up. You see that song? Wake up, oh, wake up, wake up. You don't have any excuse. You don't have any excuse. Lord, get Jesus. This work that they gave me is because I want to collect money so I can fund your kingdom. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up there, brother. Wake up there, sister. Wake up. Just wake up. Wake up. Yeah, you're sleeping too long. You're sleeping too much. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake yourself up. Let me tell you, yeah, you need to wake yourself up. That intentionality can only be found from your inside. See, I cannot give you intentionality. I can train you on how you can be intentional. But that act, what I'm saying is, even after, if I say I'm sweating, yeah, even after I have taught you and taught you, if you do not wake up and sit down and analyze your life and see how you can be intentional, you will never be intentional. You will never. How many of you saw on Sunday, there was somebody who said, you know, she had not preached before. And what did you do? You see, eventually that lady came out with us for evangelism. What was the statement I made? I said, when she started her job, did she know everything that she was supposed to be doing? No, now. Did she know, even if you join a company as a director, there are people in the company that would have to show and guide you on how things should be done to an extent. I was together. What did I say? When you joined your company, you didn't know everything you know right now. Yeah, so what did you do? You observed, you watched, and then you were intentional to learn. Yeah, you observed, you watched, then you were intentional to learn. You observed, you watched, then you were very intentional to learn. Dear saints, how intentional have you been about the things of God? How intentional have you been about the things of God? How intentional have you been about the things of God? How? Are we together? Yeah, so you don't need to get yourself all, you know, looking for, it's just an example, it's just an excuse. No. You don't have to keep giving excuses. You don't have to keep giving excuses. Bible says, not slothful in business. No, don't keep giving excuses. Where I'm coming from is far. How can where you're coming from is far be an excuse for not coming to church early? In which world does that make any sense as a believer? In which world does that make any sense? You know, Pastor, you live. You know, Pastor, you live 10 minutes, and even if I live 1 minute, right? So people still live 1 minute away from church, and they come late. How can where you stay, yeah? But you can travel to go for visa appointments. You can travel to go for work. Yeah, I remember someone saying that coming to Edinburgh was, you know, for church coming to Edinburgh or this thing. Do you know the funny thing? A few months after that conversation, the person got a job in Edinburgh, right? And the person is living somewhere outside Glasgow, not towards Edinburgh, outside Glasgow. right? And the person started going to work every day. And this is somebody who said coming to Edinburgh for Sunday service was what too complex. Excuse. And person goes to work 5 days a week in Edinburgh. Excuse upon excuse. Excuse. Pastor, my house is so far. If your house is far, what do you do? You wake up earlier. Is a sacrifice you make. Pastor, you know I have three children. If you have three children, and so what? And so what? Are you the first? Pastor, you know, my body, and what? And so what? It just means you need to adjust. It means you need to wake up. It means you need to just amend. It means that usually if you would sleep at 9 o'clock, yeah, so that you can have 7 hours of sleep, yeah, you can decide to sleep at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Yeah, you can decide to sleep at 3 o'clock. Let's even assume you don't even sleep till 2. Yeah, even let's assume you don't sleep in 2. It's not church time you use as rest time. No, no, no. Yeah, because it's an instruction in scriptures that we gather together. Yeah, yeah. If you were getting ready every Sunday, you know, I spoke to the family, one of the families we, you know, around, you know, and they were saying that, you know, when it comes to, you know, having to come with the child to church and everything, they just have to wake up earlier. Well, the truth is, that's the only thing you need to do. It means that when you were living alone as a man, right, if you would wake up, are we together, for a Sunday service at 9 o'clock, you wake up at 8 o'clock and still be in church for 9 o'clock. When you marry a woman, for instance, yeah, a woman might decide to make you lazy, or a man can decide to make you lazy. What do? You change your alarm from 8 o'clock to 7:40. If 7:40 doesn't work, you make it 7:30. If you have a first child, what do? You make it 7 o'clock. And if you have two children, what do? You make it 6:30. I look at my family, my parents rather, and I see the sacrifices that were made for the cause of the gospel for decades, for years. What's my excuse? Yeah? What's my excuse? What exactly is my excuse? I don't have an excuse. It's just that thing is not as important to me. So I have not intentionally, I have not deliberately made up my mind to work out a way to make it work. This is what I just said. Yeah? No, there's none of you who will have a visa interview and you will intentionally go late because you want to. We have to. There's some of us who travel with 5 a.m. flights. Why? Because it's cheap. so you can work a calendar to wake up at 3 a.m. for flights. And once a week, look at it though. Look at the ratio of the time you go to work or you do work activities for the year. 5 days a week on an average. 5 days a week on an average, right? And you do 5 days a week a year in 52 places. That's 52 weeks, I'm assuming. Yeah? Take out your holidays. For the church, for Sunday, it is only one a week for now, right? Emphasis on for now, 52 times, not even 52 times. Let's say 50 times. What does it cost you to wake up at 5 a.m. on a Sunday? What does it cost you? You know you can wake up at 4 a.m. for something else, but you can't wake up 4 a.m. for Jesus. And you that still woke up 10 minutes to service time and came late. Fortunately, you met the song. You say, you come and say, I give myself away to who? So you can use me, take my life. Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, there's some we just sing, you know, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my intellect and use, let it be. Yeah. But as you are giving God on Sunday, you're asking him to take it, you are collecting it back once service is finishing. All together. Yeah. What exactly are you sacrificing for the things of the kingdom? I tried going to Philippians 2, where I wanted to be today. I believe and I trust that has been instructive to your heart. Are we together? I believe and I trust that has been instructive to your heart. You see, yeah? Excuses are only found on the lips of people who their convictions are not deepened. You don't have a conviction about a thing. You can't keep giving an excuse, another excuse, another excuse, another excuse. I tell you an example of a pastor who does a brother in his local church who every time he used to come early, clean the church and everything, all of a sudden he got a job. He started coming in late. A few months down the line, he started coming in early. The pastor was pushed to ask him, have they sacked you? And they found out, he was actually asking like sarcastically and found out of the truth. Yes, he's actually been sacked. Jokingly. Yeah? What was it? What did he mean by that? It just really means you stopped coming early at some point because of a job. The only reason I want to suppose that you are now coming early consistently because you don't have a job. No, your life cannot afford to be run that way. No, no, no. Your life cannot afford to be run that way. No, 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 no. No. You see, every job you have, anything you think you have, right? The only thing that has an eternal impact are things done for eternal purposes. The things of ministry, the things of local church, they have eternal rewards. Yeah, like I've always told you, right? A job you have today, you might not have it tomorrow. A job you had yesterday, you might not have it today. A job you don't have today, you might have it tomorrow. That's the truth. And that's life. Must understand that you walk around every and any job or anything around your devotion, your commitment, your consecration, your consecration to the things of God. Oh, dear saints, I look forward to a local assembly where everyone is committed. You know, for instance, we've not had to instruct or force people to come to church by 9 o'clock. Yeah, we've not had to. But see, some of you have seen the need to just be there early. Yeah, some of you have seen the need to just be there early. Not because you have anything, you are not rehearsing with anybody, you are not doing anything. You've just seen the need. Yeah, that's the local church I look forward to building by God's spirit and God's power. See, I told you on Sunday, I'm not going to allow the Gen Z world make us lose fervency, make us lose consecration, make us lose our devotion for Jesus and his church. No, I'm not going to allow that. Yeah, when you need to collect, you collect. And what do I mean collect? When you need to collect scolding, you collect. Yeah. When you need to collect praise, you collect. Yeah? But to allow us to just be big man and just be, you know, we are serving. No. Oh, happy am I, or happy will I be looking forward to a church years from now, years down the line. And I'm seeing men, many of you who are still here today, or who are here today rather, you know, who will still be there then, committed, fixed. Mind you, with you growing in different parts of your lives, better jobs, now CEOs, now managers, now whatever it is, and yet still committed, singing in the local church, still committed when it's time for prayer, you are praying fervently, still committed when it's time for evangelism, we go out together for evangelism. Oh, how beautiful it was to me, how beautiful I felt on Sunday, seeing every single person listening to me, right? We all went out in the streets to preach. Oh, that's a local church we are building. That's the local church we are building. So that years from now, right, we will see people who might join the church, and yes, they might not be all giving to evangelism, but give them a few weeks, a few months. They'll be the first to move. There's some of you, I remember the first time we had gone for evangelism together, you were so timid, right? There was one of you in my particularly, I'm sure you know yourself, right? I saw your response to an evangelism I counseled recently, and I'm like, wow, what a heart. Because the rest of the post, the person felt so demoralized. As soon as I just said it, today, because we need, I think that was the day we need to arrange the new instruments. Yeah, today we'll shoot evangelism next week. I could just see, and I was like, look at this person that came to gospel 6 months ago. Look at this person that came to gospel 7 months ago. And when they say, let's go evangelism, they say, I don't know what to say. Is that not growth? Is that not growth? Yeah? If some of you, if you don't know you are growing, may I know I see you are growing. And it's my prayer that you keep growing, that you keep growing. Don't be one who will not give excuses for things yesterday. You're not giving excuses for things today. No. Stay committed. Stay consecrated. Go to 1 Philippians. That's a long talk. But I believe and trust that God's word has been said, and God's spirit will allow those things, you know, stay in your heart. I go to Philippians 1. Now, you know, celebrating for Philippians 1:27, and it says, only let your conversation be as becoming the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, all together, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And so it now says, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. It says, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. What are you suffering? What persecution are you going through? What sacrifices are you making? What sacrifices are you making? It's a question you ask yourself week in, week out. What sacrifices are you making? What commitment are you making? What is your sense of devotion? You see, if you have those conversations where at the beginning of a year, end of a year, end of a month, beginning of a month, you ask yourself a question, what have I done with the knowledge of the gospel this month? What have I done with the knowledge of the gospel this month? What have I done with the knowledge of the gospel this year? What have I done with all the things pastor has been teaching? Oh, he has taught local church, the importance of the local church. He has taught believers authority. He has taught, what's the next series we did again? Engaging the streets. We paid attention to this for over 2-3 months. The local church for about 4 months. Now we're doing consecration. You know, we're in September already. What have you done? What have you done with the knowledge you have? Yeah, so it says that what we are to believe on him, but also we are to suffer for his sake. Now, if we go all the way to Philippians 2, verse 1, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any boys of and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded. So Paul is talking to the local church, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Being of one accord and of one mind. What does that mean? When we say we are coming together as a church, we come together. Yeah, we come early. We come with a purpose in mind. When it's time for us to pray, what do? We pray collectively. When it's time for us to sing, what do? We sing collectively. We have one vision, one purpose, one goal, one mind. And we're together. That's the goal of the local church. Now, it says verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves, right? So we can't afford to get selfish. You see, let each person esteem others better than themselves. Yeah? We esteem others better than ourselves. Not me, myself, and I. No, I cannot behave like, no. No, everybody should just leave me where we are. Everybody should just leave me how we are. Everybody should just leave me. No. It says lowliness of mind. Now, look at it, verse 5. It says, look not every man, verse 4, on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Verse 5, my emphasis this evening, and I'll continue that on Sunday, and next week Wednesday as well. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. You see, that word, your mind, means what? To actually set your mind in a way that it affects your affection, or you set your affection. Let this mindset be in you. So I said on Sunday that this statement is different from when a believer confesses, I have the mind of Christ. No, the mindset he's talking about is what he explains in verse 6. He says, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery. Right? So Paul is saying that this mindset was also in Christ Jesus. So the mindset that the believer should have in local church is the mind that was in Christ. The mind that was in Christ, not the mind of Bill Gates in the local church, not the mind of Warren Buffett in the local church. No, the mind of Christ, who being from. So as a believer, it is a choice you make to reflect and embody, right, the mindset that we see written around the scriptures or that was in Christ. Altogether, you can decide not to pray. You can decide to pray. You can decide to pray and yet decide to pray fervently. You can decide to be committed to prayer. You can decide, so you need to ensure there's a mindset. If the disciples had your mindset to service, will the gospel be at your door today? Would you have heard the gospel today? You know what it took men? I'm going to look at that. I'm going to do a series on that. The sacrifices of men of old. I'll do that probably in a few months from now. I will look through men, the men who went sacrificially, gave their all just to ensure that a people will hear the gospel. Just to ensure that another group of people will hear the gospel. For their men in their home, even in this Edinburgh that we go to, I've gone on evangelism. If you've not seen it, it means that you just need to work, keep preaching out to more people. I've gone on evangelism and people have said you've never heard the name Jesus. And I bet you not, and I kid you not, I'm very certain they are not joking. What are you doing for the gospel? So for a believer, you don't make excuses. You make decisions. You make intentional decisions. So what is the word of God to do to you? Yeah, the word of God is to change your priorities. The word of God is to change your orientation. Like I said on Sunday, the word of God doesn't celebrate you. It celebrates you in Christ, or Christ as the main focus, if at all it celebrates you. Altogether, right? Paul now says, he says, this mind that was in you, he says, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be called God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Yeah, what does it mean to take upon now? What does it mean to take upon himself a servant? We'll look at that shortly. So Paul is saying that what got you saved as a message of the gospel now becomes an example of your life. altogether. We are saved by believing the death of Jesus. So now the death, the resurrection, now the details are now broken down, and we feast on those details for our spiritual growth. It is who being in the form of God. So it's just like a baby in the womb. The baby takes the form of the womb, right? But still a human in the womb. And when he comes to the earth after being born. So a baby is a human in the womb. A baby is a human when it comes to the earth. But because of the shape, the form of the womb, the baby takes that form. That's what Jesus did. He took a form. He took a shape. He took a form. He did not stop him from being God. So God was what? So when God became a man, he did not lose his divinity. Did you get that? So God becoming a man did not lose his being God. He was still deity. Deity. He wasn't less God, no. So when we look at the scriptures, the epistles, and the life of Jesus, we see 100% divinity, 100% humanity. In his humanity, we see an example to follow our saints. We see an example to follow our saints. Altogether. So the Bible says that who being in form of God thought it not robbery. That word there, thought it, is a Greek word that actually means to consider, to bring fit, or to take into account. So whilst he was being in the form of God, he didn't take into account. So to take into account, not robbery, to be equal. That means he didn't take into account the fact that he was God in the flesh. Altogether. So that phrase there, take it not, or thought it not rather, it's a phrase where you intentionally fix your attention on something else, your affection on something else, or you rather consider one thing over another. Altogether. Right, so he thought not robbery. That means the word there, robbery, that word is the word that actually means to seize. So thought it not, we said, is to take your affection on another, not robbery to be equal. That means he took his attention off. That means he didn't seize the privilege and opportunity to refer to himself as God, God in the flesh. Altogether. So he did not consider himself. He did not consider himself. That means the choice of Jesus becoming human and living as human amongst men was a choice that Jesus made to look away. So it means that when we saw examples of Jesus being vulnerable, when we saw examples of Jesus looking helpless, it wasn't because he lacked power as a divine God. It was because he did not lean on it. He took his affection off it. Altogether, he didn't consider himself being God, because if he retained all his power as God, he would still be in our sins as humanity. So it means that if he retained all his power as God, he would not be able to submit himself, right, to humanity or to the flesh for him to be killed. Altogether, so Jesus made a choice. Sometimes we look at ourselves, we consider the things we have, the money we have, the expensive clothes we have, our age, our marital status, our fatherhood. We are now a father, we are now a mother, we are now a CEO, we are now Bible says what? Let this mind be in you. So what I'm teaching you today is not a mind. So Jesus gives an example of a servant and gives an example of a leader, which is why he also says, like, he gives an example of a servant leader. Are we together? Right? So he's saying that you don't allow your mind to be fixed. What is your mind fixed on? Not on the kind of dress you have. Not on the money you have in your account. Not on your status. Not on your profile. Are we together? Right? So Jesus, who is God all by himself, he did not actually lean to his all-powerfulness. No, he didn't lean into that. He actually what? He thought it not robbery. That means he didn't seize the opportunity. Are we together? Right? Yeah? He didn't seize the opportunity. He didn't seize the opportunity. That's it, I say to you. What did he now say? He says in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. You see, when it comes to local church, the local church is the ground that creates that form of equality, regardless of your status. Altogether, regardless of what you have. Yeah, Bible says that being found in verse 8, in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Let me tell you, humility is different. Humbling yourself is different from life humbling you. You don't have what to eat, and you ask someone to give you food. And someone says, please now, can you give me food, please now? No. You don't have what to eat. Yeah? So if somebody has what to eat, and he's saying, please now, like I say, well, that is trying to be humble. Yeah, I'm doing a very big example. Yeah? But I'm trying to say that there's a difference between humility, when you are humble. So humility was something that Jesus wore as a practical garment. in our world today, once you just start making £20,000, once you just start making £20,000 or $300,000, what happens? You start raising your shoulder. What happens? You start saying, "No, I don't relate with people of this class." You know, see, go and meet your class. Don't talk to me anyhow, right? You want to speak to me? Go through my PA. No, we don't tolerate that in the local church. Yeah, we don't allow those. We don't see those practices in the local church, because the local church is the ground that levels you and I. Yeah, if you like, go and earn $20 billion, right? If I'm earning $20,000, when we come to the local church, what happens? We are now brethren in Christ. When we leave the door of local church, yeah, your money can count, my money can, my money might not count, yeah, but either way, because we are still members of the local church, the fact still remains that our approach must be influenced by the state or the person or the people that we are in Christ Jesus. I'm a manager in my company. Position that they gave you, they can take it from you. Yeah, they can take it from you. Yeah. My leader speak to me that way. How will you just speak to me that way? Well, you see, when it comes to the local church, when it comes to spiritual oversight, when it comes to conversations around local church, we drop all our heavy garments outside and receive with the meekness of heart, receive with a humble heart, receive with a passionate heart, receive with a humble heart. All together. Yeah, don't you know me? In school, I think with a 6.0 over 5 CGPA. Well, you see, when it comes to local church, yeah, the only time that counts is to show you that, well, that's somebody else who finished with a 9.0 over 5 GPA, and the person is still arranging chairs. Yeah, those are examples. Yeah, unfortunately, in our world, people say we are comparing people. Yeah, but the truth is, you cannot have a solid example in a local church without using other members to show an example to other members. It can either be good, it can either be bad. Paul will say, "Timothy, my son, right? Yeah, I've sent him so that I can set things aright." Imagine Corinthians saying, "How would they compare us with Timothy? All of us have different pace of growth." Well, he also as well said to Corinthians, "Well, there's a man who is sleeping with his father's wife. You all know him." So when it comes to local church, there will need to be those levelers. You will see people doing something that they're in a more difficult situation than you are, right? You see, what I found out is a lot of times we think we're in the most difficult position. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. You made yourself believe that. It's not true. It's not true. No, you're not in the most complex, especially if you're even around a country like this, or an environment like this, where everything, no, you're not in the most complex situation when it comes to serving Jesus. You're not. You're not. I'm not close to it. Yeah. So you need to always keep reminding yourself, regardless of what comes my way, regardless of what comes my way, no matter what happens, there's nothing wrong in local church. Seeing people as well who are in tighter positions like you are saying, but if brother so and so can do it, I can do it. I can do it. If sister so and so can do it, I can do it now. This sister, she does this, she does that, she does this. And yet, this brother, he does this. What an example to follow. All together. But you see what we do in our world? Let me tell you a practical thing we do in our world. We look at those around us that we're doing better than. And we begin to say, after all, I'm actually even doing better than. Do you understand? And you see, if that's your approach to anything in life, you cannot grow. That's the truth. That's the truth. Because you would always see yourself as a lord. Yeah? You always see yourself as the one who has arrived or reached the peak of growth. Altogether. So there'll be worthy examples in local church. There'll be an example of Timothy, right? There'll be an example of Alexandra Hymenos. There'll be examples of a man who sits with the father's wife. Are we together? Yeah. So you'll be shocked to see that there are believers in local church in the Corinth that would have said, let me continue sleeping with people around. Though. After all, I'm not even as bad as those that sleep with their father's wife. That's what we find in ourselves. I come to church by 9:30. At least there are those that come by 10:40. The world changed. Yeah, you'd not see your life is funny. Oh, gracious Father. Yeah. When somebody says, wow, my sister, you're doing very well, though. Your mates have never got it to where you've got it to at this age. You raise your shoulder. It's the mercies of God. It's the grace of God. When they say, can't you see your mates who are still serving Jesus with everything? You say, why you? What, don't put me in the same. No, everybody has their race to run. You see, what I'm saying to you is a factual fact that exists in an average person. Yeah, Pastor, what's your own? Why are you asking me to come early? At least don't I come around 10 minutes to 10? Don't I at least still sing with the choir? Don't I at least still, you know, Pastor, I still at least used to attend meetings. What about this brother? What have you done? You don't see another brother who is always in meetings. You don't see another sister who is always there. You don't see another and a fellow saint. But you see, like, the reason is because we think that we're in the most difficult situation. I put it to you today. It is not true. Maybe I'll title this message that it is not true. It's not true. We've not started having two services or three services. There are people who have two, three services and they're in church from 5 a.m. and they have four children. And they're in church from 5 a.m. and they've done it for over a decade. They have five children. They are there for the five services. And what are we saying, please? What are we saying? And they are working. And they come for midweek service. What are we saying? Yeah, you know, sometimes you just need to, and that's why you need a pastor, right? Who will be able to say these things to you the way they are. Because you will just look for somebody who you are doing better than and just plateau at that level and just be like, am I not serving Jesus? We are going to the same heaven. No. What about those who do five services in Sunday? And I know of people who have done five services in their local churches for over a decade, over 10 years, and they've not missed more than one or two. First service started at 7. When do you expect people that attend those meetings? When do you expect them to get to church? After 7? No. Some of them are there from 5 o'clock. They arrange the place, they clean the place, they keep the place ready. Some of them are now there from that moment. You see, God's Palace is a growing church. Yeah, in the near future, we might have a period or a gap where we start doing two or three services. And I tell you for free, some of you would have to compulsorily be in those meetings. And let me tell you something. If you don't take your place in showing your sense of commitment, you see, you'll just find out somebody else will come. Right? Because see, God will always do things regardless of us. Yeah, that's the way God does his thing. He does things regardless of us, what we think. Right? What I mean is, the moment you raise your shoulder, yeah. What would have thought that because Judas betrayed Jesus, it will remain 11 continually? No. Guess what? There was another that replaced. And in case that another still messed up, there's another that replaced. Why? Because God will use men and will always use men. So don't allow, no matter how little it is, don't put yourself in a place where you're trying to compare yourself with people who are doing better. I tell you, if all your friends are the most consistent, then you need to change your cycle. All your friends. No. I have friends who I know. I have some friends that the way they sacrifice to go for special meetings, for instance, the way they sacrifice for evangelism, it spoils me. Yeah, I can tell you for free. If you want to look at my friends, based on a lot of my friends who I've known, majority of them, I can begin to brag now. I say, I pray an hour every day. So I average as your pastor, an average of an hour prayer every single day, right? Considering I've done that in 2 years, right? So I go for evangelism at least once a week. No matter what, I must preach to at least two, three people. Consistently done that over the years, okay? Yeah, I could as well say, but guess what? I know friends who pray for 2 hours, 3 hours daily. I know friends who do 3 hours consistently daily, and they've not failed once in 5 years. So I have those friends around me. So I don't get myself all rosy. So I have friends who we can talk ministry together. I have friends who I call if I want to know the latest way to get money, I have friends I can call. But if I want to know the best way to evangelize in the streets, or how can I modify or increase my evangelism, I have friends who I can speak to. Yeah, so it's good for you to have friends who look up to you that way, but they're saying for you to grow, you need friends as well who you will look up to. And those friends may as well be colleagues of you in the local assembly. Saints in the local assembly is something that you need to have as a mindset of the believer. So the Bible says he did not consider himself altogether. He says, let this mind be. I hope you know that Jesus did not get born again. He didn't need to be born again. Why? Because he was God in the flesh. Paul says, let this mind be in you, right? So Jesus did not consider himself to be equal. That means he didn't superimpose his equality with God or his divinity with as God, right, on his humanity. He didn't think of himself to be the same as God. In the Bible says he made himself a servant, made himself of no reputation. And took, that means the word there, no reputation, means to be worthless, to be void, right? He took himself the form of a what? Of a servant. I leave you with this question again today. Can you be like Jesus to serve? Can you be like God to serve? Altogether. Can you be like Jesus to serve? Look at the words Jesus used. Look at the template Jesus set. Look at the examples Jesus set. Can you be like Jesus to serve? I want to leave you with that question. And I hope that instructs your heart. Yeah, Bible says that he humbled himself. That means regardless of what he could boast about, regardless of what he could brag about, he didn't cleave to them. He didn't lean to them. He didn't lean on them. He didn't. He took his attention off his divinity and paid attention to his humanity. And in that, the Bible says he leaves an example for us what? To follow. Now we see an example. Dear saints, you have examples in the scriptures. Now we're together. Bless God for men who have served ahead of us, who also followed the examples of Jesus. In their examples as well, we see an example. But don't forget, you have a pastor right in front of you, right? Who I believe is an example to you. An example of devotion. An example of consecration, right? I trust and look forward that in the next 5 years, next 10 years, I'm not going to be in the same position I'm in right now in my career, in my family, in my home, in my house, where I live, anything. Yeah, I'm not going to be in the same position, right? I'm going to grow, right? Because I'm putting a lot of work in my secular world. But you see, my greatest achievement and testimony will be that I don't have a year of yesterday where, you know, those days when we're growing, we used to be forever. We used to pray like 1 hour every day, 30 minutes, hour. But now we know we just have a lot of businesses to sign. No. See, if my testimony 10 years from now is as I've achieved 50 houses, I've bought 20 houses, I've bought 200 cars, yeah, and my ministry aspect is suffering for it, well, I don't have a testimony. I don't. You see, there was one of you on this call, right, reached out to me a few weeks ago. I was rejoicing. What happened? Got someone saved. Right, you see, I'm missing the person. I'll say, oh, so beautiful. How did it go? You know, we had a chat about it. 2 days after, I still went back to message the person. I say, oh wow, how did you go? How do you feel? Right, that's what I brag about. So if you told me you got a job, huh? Well, congratulations, beautiful. I rejoice with you. I smile with you. But more than a job is your commitment to Jesus. Let it be that 10 years from now, you have Jesus going well for you. I mean, the work of ministry going well for you, and also your family is being taken care of. All together, your family has been taken care of. Well, been a pleasure to bring God's word your way this beautiful evening. I hope you've been instructed by that, and we'll pick it up again on Sunday. Have a lovely night, rest you all, and then we'll see on Sunday as well. Don't forget, we have Rekindle coming up at the last Saturday of the month, and see you all soon. Well, that's me. I wish you all a beautiful night, rest you all, gospel as dear saints, and I'll see you all on Sunday. Ensure that you get ready.